It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll get the story behind a project in Dane County that wants to use murals to create better communities.
First, the end of the world and what comes next. In his new novel, Seven Eves, Neal Stephenson blows up the moon. No spoiler alert, that happens in the first line of the book.
And that starts a chain of events that will destroy all life on the surface of the Earth. So the clock is ticking for humanity to find a way to keep some people alive to preserve the species in orbit.
Neal Stephenson joins us now for a look at the technology and the human side of life after the end. His books include Snow Crash, Cryptonomicon, and his newest, Seven Eves. He'll be appearing in Milwaukee at Boswell Books on Friday, June 5th at 7 p.m. Neal, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you set yourself this challenge to start the book. The surface of the Earth is going to be uninhabitable. The world has 2 years to create a viable, self-sustaining habitat in orbit, no help from Earth. What was the biggest challenge you encountered in making that work, at least on paper?
Well, it was just trying to imagine what we would do if the starting gun went off today, and we had to organize all of that in a short period of time with the technology, the rockets, and so on that we actually have available to us today.
And one big question in the book is whether asteroids and comets or bits of moon, in this case, could be harnessed for shelter and material. And I know you've worked on that question some outside of the world of fiction. How close are we to mining asteroids or capturing and using comets?
Well, there's a company in Seattle called Planetary Resources, which is working on that problem today. And they're still, I guess you could say they're still in the survey phase of the project. They're figuring out exactly what's out there and what are the closest and easiest to reach targets that they might be able to go after. But once that's known, the next step is hopefully going to be actually going out there and making contact with some of this and trying to use it for something practical.
Now, in addition to the technological problems, there are all the psychological considerations. You've got a bunch of people who just watched the world end. Virtually everyone they know is gone. They're in a cramped place, a place like humans haven't lived before. How did you approach the psychology of people living in that situation?
Well, the thing that has to be understood about space travel is that it is a very confined and, for most people, a potentially claustrophobic kind of an environment. You do have some places where you can look out the window and see stuff, but you had better be comfortable with the idea of living in enclosed spaces for a very, very long time. I've tried to be honest with that and present it as a realistic depiction of how we think it would be. It's not a super appealing prospect, but I guess that's part of what makes this a heroic story.
And privacy pretty much non-existent. And in fact, years after the beginning of the book, people are looking back at recordings of the people who start this process off. Can we live with virtually no privacy?
I think we are doing so at this very moment. But no, I joke, but I know what you mean. That's the question, right? So I'm not trying to push a particular answer to that question, but I hope that that people who enjoy the book and who are reading it will find themselves asking those same questions. What would it be like? How would you? If you were living in that kind of environment and you needed to have, say, an intimate moment with someone, with a special friend, how would you organize that? Would you have, in college dorm rooms, you used to put a coat hanger on the door as a signal. Would you come up with social conventions like that one to allow you to have some semblance of a more normal social life?
Now, right off the bat in Seven Eves, women play a big role on the space station. Their role gets more and more important, I think you could say, as the book goes on. Are women in some ways better suited for the conditions of orbital life than men?
There has been some research about this suggesting they're at least as well suited, if not more so. they're supposedly more resistant to radiation damage just by virtue of how their reproductive systems are set up. All the good stuff is on the inside instead of hanging on the outside. And psychologically, for whatever reason, whether you consider it to be a cultural training or some kind of inherent feature, they seem to be better suited for living together in a limited area over a long period of time. I'm generalizing, but this is sort of research that's supposedly been done by NASA and other space agencies over the years.
We're talking to author Neal Stephenson about his newest novel, Seven Eves. Now, later in the book, Neal, you introduce a concept of Amistics. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, inspired by the present-day Amish population. Can you explain what Amistics or Amistics is?
Yeah, this actually, I'm indebted to Kevin Kelly for this, of Wired. He pointed out that although, you know, some people see the Amish as rejecting all technology, that's not true at all. They have all kinds of technology that they use. A horse and buggy is a technology, and when it comes to modern technology, they're just selective about which things they adopt. So you can see Amish people using rollerblades, which is a very modern conveyance. They've decided that, according to their cultural standards, that there's nothing wrong with doing that. But internal combustion engines and other technologies, they prefer not to use because they feel it's going to interfere with their with who they are. And Kevin has made the point that we all do that. We are all Amish now, in that we all, well, just a minute ago while I was waiting to talk to you, I noticed a tweet from someone who announced that they were backing away from Twitter for a while. They had decided that it was changing the way they felt and thought about things in a way that wasn't beneficial, and so they announced that they were going on a little Twitter diet. Right? So there's no real difference between that and the decisions that the Amish people make all the time.
Well, staying with that Twitter theme, later in the book, a character is retroactively judged negatively for making that decision to put a lot of time into social media to the detriment of other things they might be doing. Is that something that you think has a lot of real-world validity, that we are putting too much of our technological time into social media, personal digital media, that could be better spent elsewhere?
Well, I think by this point, it's a pretty commonplace observation to say so. And everyone I know who uses it, they spend about equal times using it and agonizing about how much they use it. So we're all kind of self-aware, I think, of how addicting it can be and how much time we can spend on it. In this case, in the case that you cited, this is someone who used it quite a bit and was caught because of this other issue we talked a minute ago about. Everything he does is being recorded all the time, and people thousands of years later can go back and watch, you know, webcam video of this guy sitting there spending hour after hour on social media. And at that point, it's very easy to judge that person harshly and say, well, you know, he made a mistake, he shouldn't have done that, he should have done this instead.
So that takes me toward a point toward the end of the book, talking about purpose. You know, the whole book is about how humanity tries to survive this disaster. Toward the end, you get into why we survive, how we try to find a purpose in that. So, a huge philosophical question here. How do we do that?
Well, it's just hinted at in the book. That's something that would have to be explored in more detail, maybe in a sequel or something. But these people have seen their planet blown up, and they've spent thousands of years kind of clawing back from it, and they haven't had a lot of time to to ponder the big questions. It's more like, how am I going to survive today? You know, where am I going to get food? How am I going to fix this broken, you know, airline or whatever? But when they finally do claw their way back and sort of get a decent standard of living again, it's natural for them to sort of ask themselves, you know, what happened? Why did it happen? What's the point of it all? You know, what is our purpose? And it's a thing that they kind of have instead of a religion or an ideology.
Neil, thanks a lot for joining us, and enjoy your visit to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
That was author Neil Stevenson. His new book is Seven Eves. He's scheduled to appear in Milwaukee at Boswell Books next week, Friday, June 5th at 7 p.m.